More witnesses take the stand this morning in the parental abduction trial of Christian Carl Gerhard Strider, the Boston man who calls himself Clark Rockefeller. Rockefeller is accused of kidnapping his daughter during a visit last summer that was supervised by a social worker. The social worker, Howard Yaffe, testified yesterday that Rockefeller shoved him to the ground, then jumped into an SUV with his daughter and sped off. Prosecutors say Gerhard Strider planned the abduction, knowing he was breaking the law. The defense says Gerhard Strider is insane and not responsible for his actions. WBUR's Monica Brady-Meyerov reports on the two side strategies in the case as laid out in their opening statements yesterday.
Either Christian Carl Gerhard Strider is a cunning con man who made an elaborate plan to abduct his daughter, or he is so unconnected with reality that he lives in a magical world where he thought his daughter was telepathically asking him to rescue her. Those are the two scenarios laid out by the prosecution and defense during opening statements yesterday. First, Assistant District Attorney David Deacon said that while Gerhard Strider had charisma and was well-liked, he was a liar. Gerhard Strider was born in Germany and came to the United States as an exchange student when he was in high school. But he told his future wife, Sandra Boss, another story.
That he had grown up in New York City, that he had matriculated at Yale University when he was 14 years old in a program for children who are highly advanced in mathematics and science. And that when he was 17 in his junior or senior year, depending on which version of the story, at Yale University, his parents had been killed in a car crash coming to visit him, and that's why he had virtually no contact with any of his family members.
Sandra Boss believed the deception and married the man she knew as Clark Rockefeller in 1998. After 9 years, she began to question his identity and filed for divorce. She hired investigators who could not verify who he was, so she asked for and was granted full custody of their 7-year-old daughter, Ray. Boss moved to London with Ray, and Gerhard Strider was granted 3 supervised visits a year. Soon after the 2007 divorce, attorney Deacon says Gerhard Strider began to formulate a plan to get his daughter back. He rented a house in Baltimore. He hired a driver to help with the abduction. While walking down Marlboro Street in Boston, Gerhard Strider distracted the social worker assigned to supervise the visit and jumped in the waiting car. Deacon continued the story.
He took his daughter off his shoulders, knocked the social worker to the ground, threw his daughter into the car, banging her head and causing her to cry hard, yelling, "Go, go, go."
Deacon told the jury Gerhard Strider knew what he was doing, planned it well, understood the law, but didn't think it applied to him. Then Gerhard Strider's lawyer, Jeffrey Denner, started his opening statements, telling the jury not to think much about what happened, but why. What mindset was the defendant in? Denner said his client clearly has identity problems. Over the past 30 years in the United States, he's called himself Chris Gerhard Ryder, then Chris Chichester, then Christopher Crow, then Christopher Madbatten Crow, then James Clark Rockefeller, and finally Charles Chip Smith. Denner says these name changes are legal but show mental illness.
It is an indication of the deep level psychopathology that he in fact is suffering from. And you will hear from our experts that the two underlying mental illnesses that they believe he's been suffering from for certainly the relevant periods of time here is something called narcissistic personality disorder and delusional disorder, grandiose type.
While the lawyers presented their cases, the man known as Clark Rockefeller sat with his hands folded, not looking at the jury. He wore the trappings of his former upper crust life, a blue blazer, red and white striped tie, khakis and loafers with no socks. Denner said Gerhard Strider had been his daughter's primary caregiver up until the time of his divorce. And when he lost custody, he was pushed over the edge.
He believed that he was telepathically communicating with his child. He believed that she was secretly signaling him, basically saying that she needed to be saved, that she couldn't do this, that she wasn't being cared for, that she was in danger. And at that point, what he really felt he had to do was rescue his daughter.
Because the defense is not contesting that Gerhard Strider took his daughter without permission, the case hangs on his mental state.
The insanity defense is probably the toughest defense to put forward in a criminal case.
Attorney J.W. Carney Jr. used the insanity defense when he represented John Salvi, who was convicted of killing 2 people and wounding 5 others when he attacked 2 abortion clinics in 1994.
It is surrounded by myths and misconceptions that people have about it. In a case that generates a great deal of publicity, it makes it even more difficult because the jurors are subject to statements made by friends and colleagues deriding the defense, and makes it very difficult for them to return a fair verdict.
The insanity defense is seldom used for relatively minor offenses such as parental kidnapping, which carries a maximum 5-year prison sentence. He also faces other charges which could add to that term. But if Gerhard Schroeder is found not guilty by reason of insanity, he would spend 6 months in a mental hospital and could be held longer if the state believes he's dangerous. For WBUR, I'm Monica Brady-Meyerov.